I'm David Schreiner-Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I talk to on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. We're continuing with our mini-series, Fire Your Business Coach. We're talking about how so many professionals today seem to be floundering, why they're looking for answers in all the wrong places, and we offer some tips about what they should be doing instead. Our discussion may raise some questions in your mind, and I really want to hear from you, our listeners. Connect with me on LinkedIn or Twitter, and please share this episode with your colleagues and friends. It would also mean a great deal to us if you leave us a review on iTunes to help others find our show. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Angus Nelson. Angus is the host of the podcast Up in Your Business. He works with corporate executives of Fortune 500 companies, and he's an all-around great guy. So, Angus, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, David.
So we were chatting a little bit before we started recording, and you have a really fascinating background, and I know there have been lots of ups and downs like many people who are entrepreneurs. And I wondered if we could start off by talking about a point where you were at a plateau. If you could describe, think about that time and describe what your dreams were at that point.
Sure. I'll take you back about 15 years ago. My brother and I had started a nonprofit organization back in Wausau, Wisconsin, in a small town, central Wisconsin, and it was faced, the basis of it was young adult leadership and arts, it's arts-driven leadership. And, you know, when you start to do a good thing and you believe in what you're doing, become passionate about what you're doing, sometimes you forget about the important things. And one of the things that I found was I was using my skills and talents to build something I believed in, and somewhere along the lines, I crossed a line to where that became more important to me to prove to people I could do it. And if you know anything about nonprofit, it's a competitive space. In addition,
it's very competitive.
Right, right. And so we were handling a lot of financial difficulty, and then 9/11 hit. And so we were challenged even more because, you know, funding was drying up all over the city. And so I had the mindset that if I just work harder, you know, I can pull this thing around. And I went to working 60, 70, 80-hour work weeks. And so my relationship with my wife was estranged. My relationships in the community were estranged because I was starting to take things personally. I was becoming narcissistic. I was becoming a whole lot of things that I never had aimed to be. And I'm a gregarious, outgoing, social butterfly type of guy, and I'm becoming a bit of a bear. I'm prickly all the time, and everything was making me snap. And then I started to cope, and I found myself involved in addiction with pornography, alcohol, and then that led to me being promiscuous as well. And of course, when all the funding actually did dry up, now I lost my business, I lost my wife and my marriage, and I lost, more importantly than anything, I just lost my soul. Like, I was in a really, really dark place. And my passion and my dreams, at which I had anticipated, were altogether different. Obviously, I wanted to help people. I wanted to be involved in people's lives. And I wanted to do something that left an impact and a legacy in the world. And for the next 3 years, none of that meant anything. I could care less. And in so, I turned inward and I just started reading books because I knew that I had seen and experienced a lot of good things for other people through my nonprofit, through some of my past and other elements I'd been involved in. And my background was in youth ministry. I'd worked with young people. And, you know, I'd seen a lot of beauty in the world. But now it's like, where's the beauty for me? And as I was reading, I started learning a lot of the things that I was involving myself with were nothing more than self-sabotage. And I had had programmatic thought processes in my mind that were diminishing how I felt about myself and putting expectations on myself that were unrealistic, and comparing myself amongst the people around me in ways that weren't healthy either. And the worst part was when I looked in a mirror, I didn't like what I saw. I didn't like me. And at its core, from a psychological level, when you follow the line of that continuum, if I don't like me, then why should anyone else like me? And so I continued through these cycles of where I kept sabotaging opportunities and sabotaging, you know, moving forward. And the more I started to learn about this, I finally said, you know what, I got to get some counseling. And I always thought that people who sought a counselor or a therapist, like, oh my gosh, they're crazy. They must have really lost it and fallen off the wagon. And it's like, I kind of have. And when I started seeing a therapist, the first thing he did is he handed me this one book. And he said, all I want you to do is just read this and find your story in this guy's story. And I read about somebody else and their challenges. And the more I did, I realized some of my own. And that began the forward progress of me 3 years later, fast forward, coming out of all of that darkness to now having a whole new perspective of grace in my life. One that gave me latitude and fortitude to grow and give myself permission to make mistakes, but even more importantly, those around me, giving them that same liberty. And that became such an empowering way to live my life. And so here, flash forward from that would have been 2005-ish. I flash forward to 2009. I'm running another nonprofit. It runs out of money, but now instead of it being about me and my hurt, my pain, I'm the one who said, you know, hey, to the board, I think we need to shut this down. It's the smart thing to do. It's nothing personal. We didn't do anything wrong. It's just a matter of fact. That's the economy right now. And in so doing, my wife and I, a new wife, I got remarried and never knew that marriage could be so fun. I did it very differently. And I started to do business differently because now that I came out of the nonprofit world, my wife challenged me to write a book. That led me to self-publishing the book, then learning how to market, getting into social business marketing via daddy blogging, then meeting a bunch of influencers, then getting an opportunity to work for a startup, and then that put me in front of business people from Fortune 500 from across the globe. Like, how does one write that story? I don't know, David. But what I do know is this. I work with people who are from the top schools in the land, making top dollars, some of the top companies in the world. And some of them still face the same demons I faced 15 years ago. And now I have opportunity to speak in those lives in ways I never would have had opportunity before.
So Angus, going back to the point where you were spiraling downward, mm-hmm. you know, many people feel that they should achieve great success on their own and that there must be something wrong if they can't do it. What made you realize that you needed help? What was the trigger?
Oh, gosh. I guess the really honest answer is I was just so broken. Twofold. One is I was so broken. And the second one is I kept, and this is kind of serendipity. There's no formulas. I kept running into other people's stories of, you know, testimonial stuff of people who came from, you know, jack squat and made something of their lives. And for whatever reason, I connected to that and I said, I want that. Like, this can't be over. This can't be it. And coming to the end of yourself is something that I don't necessarily think anybody can really do for you. And my hope is, and even in my practice of what I do now, is that people don't have to go through what I went through, that we would have the wisdom to learn from other people's mistakes. But that one thing is, like I said, twofold. It was me coming to the end of myself and to seeing that other people had done this, and then therefore underscores this, you're not alone. And that's what I accepted, that I was not alone in this.
Right, so there's something that you have to accept yourself before change can begin to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, let's actually turn to something you just mentioned, which is the people in corporate life who seem to be successful and have demons. Mm-hmm. What advice can you offer people who have achieved success, but somehow something isn't fulfilling their dreams?
So I have a saying, actually, in some of the stuff that I do. I said, you make a success of someone's business, but you can't make a success of your life. And that's that thing that's, you know, behind the veil, the inner, you know, conversations you have yourself, inner struggles, you know, what have you. Number one, right where I just left off, is you have to know that whatever you're contending with, whatever you're wrestling with, whatever the secret, you're not alone. Other people have walked down that road. And number two, the best way for you to contend with that is to get it out in the open. Find somebody safe that you can share it with, someone that you trust, someone that cares for you deeply. And it can be someone that's in your circle. And especially with a lot of the people that I work with, that's very hard for them because they don't have deep relationships. Which takes me to the second part is step out and find a third party. Be it a counselor or a therapist or something of that nature. Because once you give light to the secret, it loses power.
Can you say that again?
Once you've brought the darkness into the light, it loses power. You start to win the moment you bring it out into the open. Because as long as it's a secret, as long as it can be festered, it continues to grow and grow like mold, like mildew, like anything else that's disgusting. But once you can get it out to somebody else, all of a sudden, I think that's the power of, like, you know, in religious sectors, the power of confession. There's something to that that becomes liberating. And when you can bring that to someone that you can trust and who's going to love you through your stuff or treat you no different, not, you know, non-judgmental, well, then you come from a place of just letting yourself free of those shackles and that stuff to then take a look at it from a different angle and become proactive instead of reactive.
So Angus, what's a good example of one of these, a situation where someone has something that has been a secret and is holding him or her back? And once it's let out, all of a sudden, that secret loses its power and the person's able to move forward.
Sure. I can tell you about a colleague of mine a few years ago. He traveled a lot. And in his travels, he was away from his family, away from his wife. And, you know, he was susceptible to, you know, the sexual elements of that kind of fuel that he gave himself through pornography. And so now that he was away from everyone, he started to, you know, go deeper down the rabbit hole. So first it starts with curiosity. From curiosity, it goes to exploration. From exploration, it goes to experimentation. From experimentation, you're stuck. And so he was off at strip clubs and he was, you know, trying to hide monies as he's sliding, you know, cash out from his personal funds into something that he could then, you know, fuel his addiction. And finally, he got to the point where he knew he was slipping from his value system. He was slipping from his marriage, and he couldn't connect, and he didn't feel authentic. He didn't feel real, obviously. And he got to the point where he was about to be found out, and he knew he couldn't hide it anymore. And so he actually sat down with his wife and came clean. And they ended up getting separated for several months. He checked into therapy. And I think it was about 14 months later, they were able to reconcile. He was able to get a new job and a new role, take on new responsibilities, and apply himself to life very differently. And now they're married today, super happy. And, you know, that's the power that people think is that out of that darkness, we think like, oh, you're just, you know, the scum of the earth. And the reality is most of us have junk that we just don't want to talk about. But the moment you can get it out, the moment you can actually deal with it, the moment you can actually heal. And that's when wholeness starts.
And are there examples like that of how people run their businesses where if they get some of the demons out, they can start to fix them?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I say this, most of your business challenges are internal. Whether it's demons and infatuations with some kind of darkness of whatever sort, addiction, or if it's limiting beliefs because of what you've contended with through either the environment or your experience in growing up in life, or the way that, you know, that nature-nurture thing, the way that leaders or family or coaches, you know, on the the Little League team spoke to you. All of those have the impact to create what are called schema in your psychology. And schema is a network or a pathway. Think of it like a highway from point A to point B. The moment someone hits this area that's sensitive to you, it might consider it a bruise, your synapses, I don't know how you say the word, follows through the schema and it immediately connects you to that season of your life when that damage was done. And you start to react ways that become very impulsive and very subconscious. And these are areas that also need to be contended with. And again, a third party helps. I think once people start to deal with these kinds of limiting beliefs and addictions and darkness, you know, type stuff, like that's when you truly feel empowered to be your most effective self, because now nothing can touch you. You start to walk in a way that you have nothing to lose, nothing to gain. You're comfortable in your own skin. And ironically, people want to be around you. People want to connect with you because you're authentic, you're real, you're genuine. And opportunities present themselves almost serendipitously.
So what's an example you've seen where someone's business challenges have been internal?
Let's talk sales. And I'm just going to give a general, you know, synopsis, and I'm not going to paint any specific picture. But sales, many times, when someone feels under pressure, we can go to a place of paralysis, right? When we feel a position of one of these struggles of darkness, or, you know, whatever that, I don't know why I keep using that word. It's such a crap word. You know, the junk. You have to heal that facet, right? Because if you feel junky about yourself, there's this weird psychological thing that feels that your experience has to validate your internal. In other words, your external and your internal have to coalesce. They have to create equilibrium. And if you don't have that, you'll create it. So in light of that, if you feel bad about yourself, if you feel these limiting beliefs, what you'll do is you'll make decisions that will offend, will push back, or create just a bad vibe. Sometimes you just be around somebody and they just got a weird energy, or they're over anxious, or they overcompensate. And now it's somebody I don't want to do business with, and now they won't get the sale from me.
And this is really important. It's a great example, because every business owner and every CEO is in sales. That's one of their primary jobs, whether it's selling to their employees, selling to their customers, selling to their primary relationships and colleagues, selling to investors. They're always selling.
Yep. And, you know, and when it comes to your personal brand, I mean, that's the essence of your marketing and sales. It's who you are. So the more liberated you make who you are, the more liberated you are to those opportunities, to those sales, and to those the connections of people. And all of us are so people interacted. What do they say? People don't actually buy your widget. They don't actually buy your product. They buy your person.
They sure do.
And the more that person becomes someone tangible, somebody likable, somebody lovable, the more sales and opportunities present themselves. And so this is where this deeply psychological thing becomes ultra tangible. If people can realize and recognize, like, holy cow, if I can just get past this stuff in my head, amazing things can happen. And that's how I started my podcast, really, is once I made all these observations and you know, obviously experiencing my own personal story and seeing how those two kind of came together, Up in Your Business was that tongue-in-cheek of getting up in your business, that psychological and emotional elements that create opportunities for success. And that's where we have to get up in our own business and finally have the courage to own our junk. That's when the changes come.
That's brilliant. Angus, how have you managed to scale your successes and increase the benefits for your audience?
So for me, I'm super transparent, as maybe you can tell, right?
Just a little.
Right? So the more comfortable I've gotten in my own skin, the more fearless I've become. And what I found, in the same way that my first counselor had challenged me to find my story in the book that he gave me, which, if your audience would like to know, that book was called John Eldridge, Wild at Heart.
Great.
And when I read that book, that just changed the game for me. But I'm sorry, I lost track of what I was saying. I just looked back at the book.
Talking about how you managed to scale your success.
Yes, yes, yes. So A was, you know, me becoming more fearless and liberated in that. And what I found is more people found their story in my story. So it made it easier because I've built a community around that. And then number two is, here's something that I found about myself, was I'm a little bit of a control freak. That was part of my process, right?
Pretty common for people who are entrepreneurs.
Right? Little type A, little, you know, get her done. And I had to let go. So I finally hired a virtual assistant. And I spent 2 months just training her. My wife's like, you got to let her go. She's never going to get it. And I'm like, I just let me, you know, work with her a little bit more. I'm sure. And then finally, she just clicked. And she bought into the vision. She bought into my heart and where I was coming from. And now that becomes the momentum in how she and I work together. And so I think it's really important that we let go of the things that we're not necessarily great at. It's one thing to be good at something, but if you're not great at it, let it go so that you can do the things you're great at. And so I've had to learn that just in my own business. And I think one more thing is kind of what I was saying before. Some of the thought leaders that I've been interviewing, I've learned two things, and that is to always maintain being a self-learner, always learning, especially in the company that I work with. We're into innovation. So everything from ride sharing, you know, Uber and Lyft and all of those cars, sharing type things, to Airbnb, then going to cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin, Internet of Things, autonomous vehicles, artificial intelligence, like all of these things are so leaning forward. I have to constantly be learning all this stuff. And I just find my brain is just becoming a sponge more and more and more. And so I think that's really important for scaling, is always be learning more about your industry and more about the team that you have around you. So I'm also big on everything from Myers-Briggs, I'm into DISC profile, Colby A, anything that has to do with the psychosomatic elements of my team, their value systems and their personality traits. I want to dive into that so I can build that effectively. I mentioned my virtual assistant. She's high on a DISC profile in her S and C, where I excel is my D and I, so I've hired someone to fill my weakness. And then the last piece is the relationships that I've built. I've been really super intentional to build quality to all of my relationships. Again, with my authenticity, it opens doors for me to be more tangible and more real with people, that they feel safe. And so as such, they've opened doors of opportunity with me and brought me alongside on opportunities I otherwise never would have had.
That's great. So Angus, I know that you work, as I said in the introduction, you work with a lot of big companies, and you have also been featured in lots of media like Huffington Post, VentureBeat, AOL.com, major television networks. Mm-hmm. What do you see as being most needed to help an organization smash a plateau?
Organizations from a large scale?
Yeah.
Well, innovation, right? Technology is changing faster and faster, and there's nothing anyone can do about it. For those that dragged their heels in social media 10 years ago, some of them are just now finally getting, you know, into that space, but it's too late because those that got there first created the demand and created the audience. So now everybody else has to compete with the noise. In the same fashion, there are new technologies that are being created every day that are disrupting anything and everyone. And so how do you find out you know, what's coming down the pike is you have to really research and you have to dig and you have to be sensitive to that and be willing to lay down the ways you've always done things to take on something new. And I always like to say it's like if you, David, if you took your two hands and you held them in front of you and you closed them into a fist, like you were hanging on to your thoughts, your dreams, your ambitions, what you have in your business, right? In order for you to take on something new, what do you have to do with your hands?
Open them up.
Open them up. In other words, you have to let go of something old in order to grasp onto something new. And that takes humility. That's what holds most people back from innovation, is they're so stuck in their ways of what they know. And going back to that limiting beliefs, they may think they're too old to learn something new. Are you kidding me? I'm 45. I've done this for 25, 40 years, you know, whatever, like 40 years, I'm sorry. Yeah, you know, 20 years. Like, I know this stuff like the back of my hand. And then some young, you know, kid who's 19, 20 years old says, have you ever thought about? And then the 45-year-old's offended. And instead of receiving that as something to learn from, we shut them down and then we miss opportunity. Like, be open at what other, or excuse me, at what, whatever age or whatever stage you are in the process to always be learning something new. And if you can maintain that kind of humility, my dad is 72 and he's still creating websites and he's traveling the globe with my mom using trustedhousesitters.com. They sold their condo and they travel full time. What kind of existence like that ever existed on the face of the planet before? Like, they're living out something that 10 years ago people would have said, you're crazy, that doesn't exist. And now it's a reality. Like, how can you take your industry and your company and disrupt yourself before somebody else does?
It's great advice. Great advice. Angus, you've shared so many valuable ideas with us. What are you working on now that you're most excited about?
So part of what I do in our space is the future of work is one facet that we're looking at. And just to kind of give you just a nutshell version, the data that we're examining right now in our research is revealing that particularly large brands who are less inclined to hire full-time employees. So we're seeing people who are close to retirement or even not so close are getting bought out. And getting packages to leave the company. The company is now positioning themselves to be able to expand and contract with the power of on-demand workforce. Furthermore, that workforce is specialized as opposed to generalized. They can hire somebody from any place on the planet through a number of different, you know, online resources. And so as such, the future of work looks very different from what the American dream was always promised. So now our next coming generation is going to have to manage their own brand because many of them will be contract labor. They're not going to be full-time employees with benefits and retirement, et cetera. They're going to be having to manage their own brand as an independent consultant specialized in some field that they choose and then have to manage relationships with multiple companies. Now, for a millennial generation, that sounds fabulous and exciting because they like the variety. They can work as much as they want when they want or as little as they want when they want. And they can work 2, 3, 4 contracts at a job at a time, but they have to maintain, obviously, great production. They have to deliver on time, and they have to create great relationship with the companies that they serve. So on one hand, it's a threat. On another hand, it's an opportunity. From the flip side, from the businesses, you're going to see HR, instead of being responsible for talent acquisition, they're going to turn to talent management. And they're going to say, remember John and Sally on that one contract for such and such? We got another one coming up for 6 months. Let's go see if they're available. And the game is changing. So I am preparing for that by building tools and resources to help people manage that. And so I'm really excited because some of my e-learning courses are going to be dealing with networking, career building, personal branding, reputation management, speaking, how to have crucial conversations, self-learning techniques, people skills, motivational mindsets, and getting through the tough times, you know, getting through the dip, as Seth Godin would call it, and more. So I'm building products, looking forward at that to prepare people in how to address it when it comes.
Angus, how can listeners learn more about all these wonderful things that you have cooking?
You can pay attention over at angusnelson.com as it all unfolds. In fact, I also built an ebook that I'll have available for your audience. It's a free ebook, and I'm going to put it up at angusnelson.com/plateau. And you can find it there. And that will also sign you up for my mailing list, and I'll keep you updated on things as they come. I don't spam you. I just let you know highlights as they come. You can also listen to my podcast, Up in Your Business. And on that, find me on the Twitters at Angus Nelson, AngusNelson.
Sounds great. So, Angus, lastly, who do you know personally who's currently doing remarkable work?
So I'm the soft skills, right? I mean, I study the hard stuff, but I maximize the soft skills. So one person in particular I think is just fascinating. I'm sure many of your female audience usually knows about her more than the male audience, but Brené Brown has done work as a researcher, and this is really sounds unrelated, but it's absolutely related, on the areas of shame and how that plays into your psyche. And she's brought that or is bridging that into the business world, and it's fascinating stuff. She's done a couple of TED Talks. She's been on Oprah. She's now speaking for South by Southwest. She was at Inbound. She's amazing. And to see the business world embracing her the way that they are, super exciting.
Yeah, it is very exciting and something to look forward to. So, Angus, yeah, this has been a fascinating conversation. Thank you for sharing so much wisdom with our audience. My guest today has been speaker, coach, and podcast host, Angus Nelson. Thank you again, Angus, for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure, David. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by Tend Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. What has your experience been getting help when you've hit a plateau? What would you like to learn through this podcast that would give you the support you need? Let's continue the discussion. Connect with me on LinkedIn and Twitter. And please share this episode with your colleagues and friends. It would also help a great deal if you would write a review on iTunes so that new people can find us. I hope you've enjoyed what you've learned. I know your time is precious. I want to thank you for spending some of it with us today.